from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Even if you're not religious, I'm talking about like Bibles from the Mayflower type stuff, like
Oh, wow. Wild.
Yeah, it'll blow your mind.
Love to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of museums I got to get to around town here. But that's one of them. D.C.
D.C. is where you can't take it all in. It's too much.
Yeah,
it's
there's a lot for sure. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. That Becky Hammon story I was telling you about, where you're going to need to come down on one side or the other, as well as David Aldridge and what he had to say about the Grizzlies. It was not nice. We'll get to that when we get back. Jason and John, how are you trying to film ESPN?
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's do it.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
David Aldridge over at The Athletic. We spoke about him with Jessica Benson a little bit earlier. He has a piece up over at The Athletic where he ranks the NBA's best offseason moves. And right now, unveiled, as sort of the Daily Memphian did, the top first. You get the top, and you run it down to the bottom. And so they've revealed 32 through 21, and I have to admit, I didn't expect to be looking at this today. But it was brought to my attention, and this is, just shows how great a job he does every single day from 9 to 11, by Jeff Calkins, that David Aldridge, very low on Grizzlies, and that I did need to pay attention. In fact, I needed to pay close attention because, according to David Aldridge, the Grizzlies had the worst offseason because they are ranked 30th. And, yeah, we said it with Benson. He says he literally starts the piece, the skinny. I don't hate the Grizzlies. Again, I don't hate the Grizzlies. But this exercise measures how much better a team is after its offseason moves than it was before. And Memphis just didn't do very much this summer. That doesn't mean I think the Grizz did nothing. I'm fine, for example, with them going for Edie at number 9. He moved fast up draft boards that impressed Chicago at the pre-draft combine. He's a 4-year player coming out of college with back-to-back consensus National Player of the Year awards. And he's 7'4", 290 pounds, and should help immediately. But you could feel the butt coming. Memphis' biggest offseason question is whether Morant is back up to speed and, again, dominant by the start of camp. And his position would certainly be, we don't know that in the offseason. So, you know, to Aldridge's, from his point of view, the Grizzlies did essentially nothing. Now, we know that the Grizzlies really had just one charge, one specific one this offseason. And we said whether it was using the pick to acquire a center or to use the pick on a center itself, that was it. It's the final piece, we're hoping, of the puzzle.
Right.
Right? Because the rest of the rotation, John, you know it as well as I do, set.
Yep.
You got to get a center in there, and you did that. Now, it's only one move. And I think the Grizzlies are being penalized here because they got a pretty, a roster that's pretty much set, and you're only having to make one move in terms of, what we think is the final piece, and it feels like, again, you're being penalized. Sort of like you talked about with some of these recruiting sites, transfer portal rankings, when you've got more guys, right, those teams are ranked higher. Feels like some of this in terms of the way that David Aldridge is looking at things. Look, I'm not telling you, because I've said it before, I think there are serious questions about Zach Edey, him holding up, and the depth that is behind him, okay? But I think it's ridiculous to think that the Grizzlies didn't do, and again, when you factor in what we talked about with Jessica Benson,
yep,
the fact that you've put yourself something, I don't think we thought necessarily where they were going to be, which is right at the tax line, below it, it looks like, going into the season. So you've given yourself a ton of flexibility by trade deadline time. If you need it, that should be added in. The moves you've made, getting off Zaire Williams, you know, that's a good thing, again, for this roster and financially, at a time that you have to sort of crunch. They did that. That should be factored in. There's no way they're last. There's no way they should be behind teams like the Portland Trail Blazers, the Clippers, who lost Paul George. I could go on and on. I don't need to, because it's literally the entire league. They should probably be somewhere, again, understanding that it's not a ton of action. You know, middle of the pack. I wouldn't be mad if they were 20th or so. But, if it was a little lower than middle of the pack. But to have them at 30, I think, is being a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like when you I'm going to tell you what's happening. David Aldridge is interpreting inactivity for idle, right?
But you retained Luke
exactly
on a deal that you
exactly
like.
Exactly.
You turned down his option, remember? Now he's coming in at 11.
Yeah.
And you filled the final hole, you hope, with Edey. Now, again, if your argument is Grizzlies should have gone all in, traded everything, go get a Jared Allen, whatever you got to do, and that's action that I would have moved them up for, okay, I get it, but you don't know either if that would have worked. It would have just been action. And so, again, I guess, and he does go about the explaining of this, if you're just ranking the offseason moves, which he is, he's talking about action, this is why he has them so low, and yet I still don't think it's warranted, because you're not factoring the fact they retained the shooting and they filled in the center position. That's all they had to do, because the rest of the roster is set.
Exactly. So I think that's what's, like, you shouldn't penalize, you shouldn't be holding it against them that they didn't have a lot of moves.
A lot to do.
Make. Right. I mean, it's a credit to the roster that they've already constructed over the last 2 to 3 years.
Nor should you hold it against them that they didn't make the big move, because this could work.
Exactly.
It's possible this could work, and they've given themselves flexibility to make a big move at the trade deadline.
I mean, A, they tried.
So it can't be 30th.
They tried again to get Mikal Bridges. I mean, that was out there. So they tried again. It was just a matter of, we don't want to give away 4 first-rounders. Like, you know, we don't really want to do that, or, you know, can we even do that? So I don't blame him at all. So I kind of feel like this is not a fair shake that he's given the Grizzlies here. I'm not saying that they had some great offseason by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, I think they're certainly middle of the pack at worst. Because, you know, you're adding, like, I just think you kind of have to understand, like, Ja took some personal steps, which are, that's a pro in the offseason, right?
Yeah,
that's a pro.
Yep.
Now, we know, some people like Edey more than others, but, you know, you can see it. So
I like Edey. I'll like him even more if he holds up all season.
You address a need.
Mm-hmm.
You bring back shooting. What could the Grizzlies have done?
Shooting at your price.
Yeah, at a good price.
Fits you under the tax line. Looks
and
like.
They stay under the tax. So what could the Grizzlies have done within reason, you know what I'm saying, that they didn't do? And that's the thing always. Okay, you don't. I saw a little bit of this, like, you know, in the middle of July, right? Everyone was like, kind of getting restless. Like, you said they're not doing anything. What are they supposed to do? What do you propose they do? This mythical player that they can add. Like, he ain't out there, you know, and the Grizzlies aren't, you know, getting off anybody to get him. So, you know, look, I think the Grizzlies had a just fine offseason. It ain't about the offseason. We know that. It's about the actual season. It's about getting these dudes on the court, staying healthy, staying on the straight and narrow. And if that happens, then we know that this ceiling is pretty high for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
If they can't, and if they don't, then we know that the floor is pretty low.
And you love Jay Huff.
You know,
you didn't mention, I just want to add that, because you do love him.
That's a great call
you
out.
You mentioned how much you love him. I just
Huff
want to make
is
sure
an upgrade at the two-way spot over Jemison. I mean, come on, dude. It ain't even close.
I'm going to say, you say Huff shoots 48% from three.
And he's just bigger. He's like 7'1", right? He's gotten real NBA minutes. I mean.
No, yeah, I'm going to roll with that.
Trey Jemison was struggling in summer league.
We had hit the ceiling with Trey. He couldn't even get the tip ends in.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, all, you know, good luck to him. I think he got picked up by somebody.
Did he?
I think so. I think I saw that somewhere. So good luck to him. I think Kenneth Lofton, who a lot of y'all would crown, is still out there somewhere. Yeah, the Pelicans picked him up. Trey Jemison. So
we'll see you down the road.
Yeah, that's right. You'll revenge Trey Jemison revenge game.
Unleash Jay Huff on him.
That's the problem. People get so attached to these bit players.
I'm not attached to two-way guys except for Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah, like y'all just.
Nah, I am attached to him.
Y'all should not get attached to anybody that's not on a real contract.
Who was the guard everybody was attached to before Scottie Pippen Jr.? Remember him last year? He started the season. Remember the little guard that used up his two-way eligibility? Y'all don't remember the guard? That's how much of a wash last season was. Y'all don't even remember the little point guard that started the season. He was hitting.
Oh, folks were trying Gilliard.
Folks were trying to get attached to him. They were trying to get attached to old Gilliard.
That's the problem with y'all, man. Like, y'all get attached. No, I don't do that.
Yeah. I will.
But you see
the
it,
ones
though.
I find, the ones we find, like Scottie Pippen Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a real one.
Like, some of y'all already know. Like, some of y'all were in high school and y'all, like, any girl that talked to you, you were like, you know. You were like, you know, sprung.
I mean, I guess Vince was two-way too, wasn't he? Before they converted him?
I think so, yeah. But he was drafted, though. So, I mean, that was a draft pick. That's a little different. But y'all get...
He's still a second rounder. Most of them miss.
Some of y'all just get sprung on these, you know, bit players. It's just embarrassing.
Well, do not apply that to Scottie Pippen Jr.
No, I'm not talking about him. But like,
I'm with you on
something. How many have, like...
It applies to Jemison, yes.
I remember the Marshawn Brooks days. Like, y'all were trying to tell me Marshawn...
But now, remember, the Grizzlies converted Lofton.
Yeah.
Now, it ended up being foolishly. You didn't even play him in the playoffs, and then you moved off of him.
Yeah, but he's...
But they did convert him now.
No doubt.
You know, so some people got more attached... As you saw him move from two-way to
it's always basically,
and that was a mistake by the Grizzlies, who ended up not using him. What didn't have a point guard as relevant, it kind of anyway.
I'm just saying, like,
that's all water.
Y'all gotta wait until the production happens before y'all get too sprung, because y'all gonna end up burned like way more often.
Well, now
than
that
not.
We've got, you know, there's three available. There's just more opportunity to get attached to dudes,
right?
And we're seeing it.
You know who y'all need to get attached to?
Jay Huff,
Ja Morant. Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, the dudes that actually matter and are relevant. I mean, you know, if somebody comes into a restaurant and you take a picture with them, that's great. Like, whatever. But I'm just saying in terms of like, oh, man, Trey Jemison, like, get the hell out of here.
Bro, we were a 27-win team last year. So, absolutely, every two-way guy that you had mattered
because
they felt like they were out there.
Nobody.
So, excuse us for having a little bit of that, you know, having gone through a little trauma.
Yeah.
That some folks are still attached.
Yeah,
you're right. They won't matter as much going forward, you hope.
Yeah.
Certainly shouldn't. You got the rotation strong.
Marshawn Brooks, y'all out here trying to give nicknames to. Who was that dude we made a song about? We
the one did it.
We played a part in that. Who was it? Mike Jones? Was that his name?
Mike Henry.
Mike Henry.
No, Mike Henry with a Y, I believe.
Yes, exactly. We are just as much the problem.
Those are signs of poverty franchise.
That's
but
right.
We are not that anymore.
Yeah, he hit like a shot and we made a song about him.
Mike Henry was during a poverty time.
We were just trying to do Grizz content, right? We were just trying to show them.
I don't mean just for this show. I mean for the Grizzlies when Mike Henry.
Oh.
That was poverty time.
Yeah. No, that's true.
We're out of those days.
No, we're out of those days. And, like, I would just recommend getting attached more so to guys that you know will have guaranteed contracts and will be here, as opposed to wasting your energy on guys that are simply just turnstile bodies that will be shipped out of here just as quickly as they showed up.
And y'all understand, too, David Aldridge knows what he's doing. He's just trying to get underneath y'all's skin. No, you're going to get some clicks.
Well, apparently it didn't really work because nobody was tweeting about it when Jessica Benson searched it, man.
Well, just posted today. How many people are reading Aldridge these days?
Well, I mean, you're the one that said he knows what he's doing. He's getting clicks. Apparently not.
He's going. I bet you he gets more out of Memphis than he does than he does out of L.A. or Denver or any of there because he's got them last.
He should have.
And then he'll get some from 21 from the Phoenix Suns folks. Remember this, we've only got 30 through 20.
So who had the best offseason according to him?
You can't go to one right now.
Oh,
they're doing it like y'all did it.
Okay, that's right.
Where you unveil the top.
Yeah. So he just Well, that's ridiculous. Well, I have no reason. I have no idea why we're waiting on the offseason grades here. We could just put these all in one piece.
I mean, to have the Clippers better than what did they even do other than lose Paul?
Nothing.
Added Derrick Jones Jr.
Lost Russell Westbrook.
Batum. Chris Dunn. Like that's some kind of addition. Kevin Porter Jr., Mo Bamba, Cam Christie.
Yeah.
They lost Paul George, Russ, and Mason Plumlee. That's a different. I mean, that's a completely different squad now.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be bad.
Paul George, you would think they're going to drop.
They're going to be really bad.
Losing Paul George to drop you down, but oh well. Because they had expected to resign him. That's the, if anybody, they should be 30th.
Uh-huh.
So, we'll move on. David Aldridge, not particularly, doesn't have nice things to say about the Grizzlies offseason. It's okay, though. We're not worried about the hate.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right, we have a doozy in the WNBA. D'Erica Hamby, who I believe was on our bronze 3-on-3 team in Paris. She has, and she's an all-star in the WNBA, former Las Vegas Ace. Now she's a Spark. She filed a federal lawsuit against the Aces on Monday, accusing them of repeated acts of intimidation, discrimination, and retaliation that she faced after informing the Aces, again, who she played for at the time, that she was pregnant. She is seeking compensation for the emotional and financial consequence of the mistreatment, which she alleges culminated in her getting traded from Vegas to L.A. She had posted about this on Instagram before. She wrote that she was promised things to entice me to sign my contract extension that were not followed through on. I was accused of signing my extension knowingly pregnant. This is false. I was told that I was a question mark and that it was said that I said I would get pregnant again, and there was a concern for my level of commitment to the team. So, look, the league's protections for pregnant players are definitely very complicated in their own right. And there are, again, accusations that Becky Hammon, the head coach, was accusing her of getting pregnant knowingly and signing the contract while pregnant without having disclosed that information. Because she got pregnant a few weeks after signing a two-year extension with the Aces in June 2022. So that's the timeline, right? So D'Erica alleges that in addition to her official salary, the Aces front office promised her extra benefits, including to cover her daughter Amaya's private school tuition costs in the form of a donation to Amaya's school and promising her team-provided housing. Remember, the Aces were investigating Mark Davis for impermissible benefits. This is kind of stuff that he got in trouble for, right? And the 18-page lawsuit outlines that the Aces and Hammond mistreated, discriminated against Hamby upon learning she was pregnant, ranging from not inviting her to the White House for the Aces championship celebration to attempting to wrongfully obtain medical records from her. Basically, boils down to D'Erica Hamby saying that the reason why I got traded was because, and only because, I got pregnant. And the Aces didn't like that. Mm. That's what she's saying. That is what's at stake here. And, you know, I honestly don't know, you know, what's going to happen. I don't know what the precedent for this is. To me, it feels gross. It does. It feels gross that it really is. I mean, is it really the Aces' business when she gets pregnant? Unless there is a clause in the contract that says you cannot get pregnant, which is a problem in its own right. Mm-hmm. Is it your employer's business when you get pregnant? And why aren't there, you know, very detailed protections? Like, for example, if I have a child, you know, I get 9 months off from radio. That's just the way, that's the Odyssey benefit. That's what I get.
Yeah.
WNBA, though, you get basically fired if you get pregnant, you know? And again, I understand that from a team standpoint, that makes it difficult to lose a player, you know, for that amount of time. But, you know, we're dealing with human beings here and the creation of life and children and family. And it's like you really can't, like, put any protections in there as a league. Like, if a player gets pregnant, she cannot be, you know, traded or waived or something along those lines in that period. I mean, would that not be fair?
Seems like it.
I mean, because those players would be targeted by the franchise, right? Like, I can't use you for 9 months.
Yeah.
You're not a part of my team for 9 months. But it's like there should be something league-wide to me that says you should absolutely feel, like, not afraid.
I agree with that. I mean, it just seems like, you know, that's just it's a natural right that should not be controlled, whether it's by your again, your government or your franchise. And I understand that in this case, it's a little bit different because your body matters in your employment. That's what's different about me and you in this situation. And, you not being pregnant is key to your performance. I understand all that. And yet you would think still, because it's a women's league, that would be an area that you just, again, would give a great freedom to. But I understand that, it's a whole other dynamic that we don't have to consider with men's sports. I mean, you think about it, an Olympian that's preparing, I'm just going off on a tangent here, but just to sort of to look at it a different way, an Olympian that's preparing right for Paris that has to decide, right, don't you? I mean, we don't think about this when it comes to the training and all of it for women, but don't you have to decide, okay, I'm going to abstain.
Yeah.
From whatever, or I'm gonna make sure I don't get pregnant before the Olympics. I mean, and that goes into it. And so I'm sure there's a layer of this, John, that we don't understand in terms of what the rules are in the WNBA. But not just that, but sort of the understanding, the culture, I think, surrounding this, that I would admit fully, I'm naive to. But and clearly, in me just saying, you think they'd have all the rights in the world. It's more to it than that, because this is a business they're trying to run. And if you are pregnant, right, they got you under contract, they're paying you, and they can't play you.
Exactly.
I can understand that, but to me, I'm like you. On the outside looking in, this seems unfair. This seems like a bullying, like she's been charged with.
Yeah.
Something that's been going on for years, I'm assuming, and I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't come to more of a...
Exactly.
A sort of a consensus what you do in these situations, more importantly, what you don't do.
It's very simple. You just designate pregnancy spots on the roster, right? Expectant mother out for 9 months, and you allow them to still be on the roster, and it allows you to sign someone else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that in a player, woman's league, that seems like that should be standard.
That player
like that.
Is exempt from being traded or waived or whatever, you know, because that's retaliatory. And I think that's sort of the whole thing here. So if what, you know, D'Erica Hamby is alleging is true, which is that, you know, Becky Hammon was asking about the pregnancy and prodding about the pregnancy, which she did get 2-game suspension for already in an investigation. But central to the lawsuit is a phone call that took place on January 2023. Hammon asked Hamby whether or not she planned her pregnancy. And when Hamby said she did not, Hammon told Hamby that she was not taking proper precautions not to get pregnant. And again, this is workplace stuff. I mean, this is like far beyond inappropriate for you to be trying to tell me what I am and am not doing. I mean, that'd be like somebody here trying to tell you what, you know, you're not taking proper, you know, it's just ridiculous, right?
Against the law.
And I think
that is against the law.
So, that's why, you know, she's in court right now.
Yeah.
And she's seeking, you know, financial compensation as a result of lost promotional and endorsement opportunities, relocation to a more unfavorable tax environment, denial of a chance to participate for a back-to-back championship, and the reputational harm that came with that, and the emotional harm as a result of the unlawful discrimination. So, look, we'll see what happens. But I think it's just a terrible look for the Aces. I really do. And Becky Hammon's, I think, as a result of this, comes out looking bad. She said per ESPN, I guess this was, you know, at the time of the trade, I'm not invalidating her feelings. I'm sorry that they were hurt. My job is to have tough conversations. My job is to make the Aces better every year. And sometimes it's a hard process. This decision had everything to do with freeing up money to sign free agents. That's all this was. This trade had to happen for the Aces to get better. So, again, can you prove that it was only about the pregnancy? I guess that's going to be the heart of this. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Player CBA notably guarantees maternity leave with full pay, but it requires players who expect pregnancy to interfere with their work to notify the team before entering new contracts or accepted restricted core or reserved qualifying offers, a provision that some have criticized as being in conflict with federal law. So,
but that's part of the CBA.
That is part of the CBA.
Which the players have agreed on.
That is part of the CBA, yes. The Pregnancy Discrimination Act of 1978 prohibits discriminations in employment because of sex and on the basis of sex, which is further defined as on the basis of pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions. So because the WNBA's 2023 investigation was never made public, we don't know if the league found them guilty of pregnancy discrimination. So, again, I'm sure that we'll see responses, and the Aces will respond, and Becky Hammon will respond. But it sounds to me like there's some discrimination here going on. And if they did agree in 2020, they need to come back to the table and completely amend that. Because, again, it just seems very simple. I don't have to tell you when I'm having a child. I mean, I just don't. We'll make the provisions with the roster.
Even though that's what you and I are saying, but what you read me in the CBA sounded different than that.
Sounds
like you do have to alert them. You have a responsibility.
Before signing a contract.
Okay.
Before entering new contracts or accepted restricted core or reserve qualifying offers. So, like, they don't have to, it sounds like they don't have to tell them, like, if I'm in a second year or four-year
deal. If I'm on my deal right now. But if I got a deal coming up.
But, yes. And that was what Becky Hammon accused.
Is accusing.
That you accepted that contract while you were pregnant, basically.
But her line is that she got pregnant afterwards.
Yeah.
I remember you, that was
2 weeks after.
At the top, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I don't think that would be in violation.
That is really gray territory.
It's a tough deal, isn't it?
A gray area.
What a tough.
I don't know how you adjudicate.
But, like, my whole thing is, like, as a human being.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But again, this is a woman's business, and there obviously is an understanding that this can happen, and I have to notify you, right? Me and you can say easy, anytime should be fine. You don't have that right to control. But this is different, and this is a, you know, from the female side of things, there's a part of this that we can't, right? We don't have to worry about. And, and we can look at one way, but you obviously have to look at a different way because this is a woman's league, and it's built into the CBA that there has to be some notification. So me and you can't just sit up here and it's end of story. You can't control my body. You can't control women's bodies. They can have them anytime they want to when that's part of the business and your body has to be available.
Well, yes.
Right.
But
I mean, that's the gray area.
I mean, she's saying she was not pregnant the time of the signing.
Right. If Becky's right that you did, right, you signed when you were pregnant, you didn't tell them, that's wrong according to the CBA.
That would be in violation of...
Right.
So
we have to hold
absurd,
out. We have to hold out the possibility that she's right.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't see how you prove it one way or the other.
Look, there is a business, and then there's a human side of it.
But just like I don't want to just completely come down on the player side here when there are clearly rules in place. It seems like there's a possibility.
Yeah. But I think these rules are quite frankly ridiculous. I mean, I find that outrageous.
No, I mean, it's easy to say that.
Like, why would the players agree to that? I mean, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're getting into a whole bunch of other stuff. But
interestingly enough, the WNBA has a very significant $60,000 adoption, surrogacy, and egg freezing plan for these female athletes if they so choose to use it in their clauses. In other words, a very pro birthing.
Yeah, we'll hold on to them for you. And
they're pro birthing as long as it's after your career.
As long as it's not during the season, or if it times out, ideally around our season.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. You got three dudes talking about a woman's.
I mean, I'm just imagining there are rules like this in other women's professional leagues that we're probably just not familiar with.
Right.
We're clutching pearls
all
about
females.
This, but that there's sort of this, you know, there's this underlying sort of rule in this thing or understanding that hey, there's. There's time slots to when you got, but you have to because we're going to need you here, and we're just new to this.
I feel you. It is wild. The Olympians. I didn't even think about it. They have to. You have to.
Bro, I mean, I said, like a Sha'Carri has to
4 years.
You know,
three years.
You,
yeah,
you have to prepare, and for a certain time, you got to be there, and a certain time, you got to perform it. So you have to say you can't get pregnant, and so there's that commitment as well. And so this is the business of it.
Yeah, it is.
It's unfortunate.
So we'll see. You female Olympians, I'm not projecting here, but now would be go time if you're a female Olympian, right? If you plan on playing in 28, you're like, okay, let's get it going here so that by a year or two in, we're clean for training for 28, and then
absolutely.
I'm not having a baby in 28.
No, I mean, that's just a physical competition deal, right? Like, that's just, you have to be ready for that. In terms of, you know, my coach calling me and accusing me of, you know, anything.
It's dicey what she said or how she said it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's Becky Hammon's place. And I think that's part of it, you know. Like, that would be
just
something
saying,
ownership would take up.
I could see a world, though, when she's talking about she has to have tough conversations. If the rest of that team has committed to this, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, again, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. I'm on the player's side here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going back to the what Becky's saying she has to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the rest of the team committed to, let's just say, not getting pregnant, right? That's they're doing it. But you've got one here that has decided, I'm going to go a little bit rogue here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's going to hold who's going to hold her accountable? I mean, that you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't have any accountability whatsoever, then there's going to be that break of rules. So I can just see a world, too, where, you know, you have a team that understands this and does report it and everything else, and it's going by the book. And in this case, perhaps, yeah, maybe about 2 weeks, you know, or whatever it was beforehand, she tried to work the system a little bit.
I mean,
again, it'd be nice to sort of wrap this up all in a neat little bubble and say they shouldn't have any right, but there's way more to it.
I just feel like with
women's professional sports, clearly
there is. I'm only looking
when you must notify.
I guess where I only care about this from the human standpoint. I really don't care, and I know that the business point does matter, which is what's going to come up in litigation. But I'm just coming at this like person to person. Like, how am I going to call you and admonish you for trying to bring a child into the world? Like, that to me just seems absolutely outrageous. And I know you're an all-star, and I know you're a great player, and I know it's going to be, but we're talking about the aces here. They got players. They got Asia Wilson. They got Kelsey Plum. They got Chelsea. They got a million, you know? They got a million players. And so I just, you know, how do you anticipate having a great relationship with that player, you know, after you're basically going at them for having a child and accusing them of all these things, which may or may not be true? You know, I'm only looking at it from the human side of it. I don't really, there are business, you know, guardrails in place, which I don't know why everybody agreed to those, but, you know, I just think it's outrageous. I think the whole thing's outrageous. We'll see what happens. You need to have one or two spots. I don't even limit. Like, if five players get pregnant, so be it. You got five pregnancy exemptions. You know, and hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, that's life. Sometimes ish happens. Sometimes, you know, happy accidents or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, that's life. And the coach has to adjust as opposed to the player losing their livelihood.
There's way more to it, though.
But I'm saying, who should lose their livelihood, right? The mom or the coach who has to adjust? Like, who, you know what I'm saying?
Like, but I'd probably tell you, again, like, you know, back to their college coaches, back to their, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure their college coaches are no, there's no CBA written, but they're having the same sorts of conversations. Mm. Hey, girls, you know, there's got to be a commitment to team here. It's got to be above. And, you know, in order to do that, we'll need everybody on the same page and nobody getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels weird for
us. I'm sure those discussions do happen.
There's times I'm figuring when it comes to women in sports and sort of what's expected. This is a commitment time to the team. We need you to be all in. And I imagine, again, this is a culture we don't understand, but they've been through for years. And so I'm just, again, leaving out the possibility here that, yeah, maybe doing it in an ass way, Becky Hammond, you know, was trying to hold a player accountable where she, you know, sensing that the player was trying to game the system. I'm still with you. I give the benefit of the doubt here to the player.
Right.
Feels like it's going to be hard to prove, though.
Right.
When, again, the CBA is in place. And but as you said, Becky's already been suspended 2 games for the bullying.
Yeah.
Clearly she came at this in a way she didn't need to. Maybe you need to do it with a little more grace.
Yes.
You know, if anything, but John, I don't think, you know, you're not going to make it where it's just wide open and everybody can go out, and because you are still trying to run a business.
Yeah, like Nafisa Collier, for example, she has a child. She's an all-star. I think she's with the Lynx. I believe she's still with the Lynx. And 2 years ago, she had a child 74 days, you know, basically, you know, before her first game. She did not play in the WNBA until August, right? The season starts in May. So she timed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
She timed that to make sure that, you know, yeah, like, it's going to be close. I'm going to miss some time, but I'll be there, you know. But 74 days, man, you know, that's not that long. Now, you can't even think about doing anything, you know, intimate with your partner for what, 6-8 weeks, something like that? Let alone playing a, you know, super physical.
You just got to wrap that rascal
game of basketball. You know,
protections.
I don't know. It's difficult. It's a
larger commitment than we have to make.
Yeah,
from that standpoint. I'm just talking about male athletes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's a much larger commitment.
Like, the burden on these women who want to have families but also want to pursue professional careers is massive.
It is huge.
And
you're right.
It's almost like you have to make a damn choice.
Yeah.
You know. Because, I mean, if the WNBA season goes from May to September, right, which it does.
In their prime birthing years, mind you, for most, or if not all.
I mean, yeah, of course.
Given the age.
6 months of the year, you're playing basketball.
Right.
I mean, there's a little break, but you're playing when there's not, unless there's the Olympics. So, 6 months out of the year, you're playing basketball. So if you got pregnant as soon as the season ended, it's still going to go into the next season, no matter what. So what can you do? You know? I mean, it's like...
retire.
There's really just... there's no good choice, you know, if you're a woman. That's why I think there needs to be more support from the league in this regard, to where you're not de-incentivizing women to have children. I mean, we have a birthing problem in this country. We have a birthing problem over in the world.
World, more so.
You know? Yeah. And our birth rate is collapsing. And it's not... And Becky Hamm is not helping.
Yeah.
You know, don't take out you being lonely on De'Erica Hamby just because you ain't got nothing going over there for you. Sounds like she's a little jealous. That's what it sounds like to me, that the Tony Parker fling ain't going for you anymore. So maybe you got to take it out on old De'Erica just because she got it popping.
I'm not taking it out on anybody.
No, I'm saying that's
what you're saying, Hamby.
Becky, right. She got some pent-up frustration, man. Mm-hmm. She's hating over there. Hating on the sidelines. So anyway, it'll be an interesting. I think some great change potentially.
Just had to be tough here. I just had to hold folks accountable, but she did it in a nasty way.
I just don't think that is your place. But we'll find out let the law decide. We'll let the law decide, and then
yes, we will.
I just personally think there are going to be some pretty big changes that come out of this on the WNBA side.
Well, it ain't to them. I mean, this is. You know, as possible.
I mean, look, on a team level, you're exactly right. There is a balance, because if you're not playing for me, regardless of why, we're not going to have as much of a chance. It's just the truth.
That's the business side, but think about the other women who are making the commitment too.
That's true.
To that,
but they may not have. So they may not have. You know,
you get to be the exception. Why? No, we got a CBA here, and so you shouldn't be that. If we're all committed to this,
yeah.
And then why do you get to be the exception?
Everybody might not want a family.
Because I'm not getting pregnant right now. I want a family just like you do, but I'm not getting pregnant right now because we're trying to win this title.
But what if you ain't got no man?
And if you got a team that's agreed to that.
You ain't got no man. So you ain't even, we got to worry about you. So you ain't got no man. So you single, you ain't got nothing going.
I'm assuming any member of the Aces that wants a man can get a man.
Asia got
man. I guarantee you
Asia,
that.
They walked out of Louis.
There ain't too many Aces that want a man can't get a man.
Kelsey got
divorced.
I'll tell
you that right now.
She had Darren Waller. They got divorced, you know. So
looked like smart move. He got a lot going on upstairs.
He does. He definitely does.
He doesn't know what he wants to be.
So, I don't know, man. It's a very difficult conversation, and it's probably not.
I think you can't understand it.
Oh, I understand
you're getting, you're just trying to simplify it into something that's it's way too hard to pull down to a sentence of just, man, they shouldn't be able to say anything to these women. These women should be able to get pregnant whenever they want to. It's way more complicated.
It is,
that.
But that's like, I guess.
And that's borne out in the CBA there.
Yes. I just value the human right to make a family over playing for the WNBA.
Well,
that's just where I'm at.
Got Kamala over here.
She is the GM. This is in her role as the GM, I presume, not as coach, right? Because she's the GM of the Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So this also what she'll probably
the contract.
As we all know, meetings sometimes are misperceived, and I'm not trying to take her side on this, but what she'll probably do is she'll walk into that court or when they're hearing in the judge in the hearing, and she'll go, "I'm the general manager of the Las Vegas Aces. Here is the CBA. I did not ridicule her or go after her. I simply asked her about the CBA clause. That's and that she might be able to do that."
Yeah. Well, we'll
see. You follow
what
I'm saying there? Like,
we'll
that's
see.
Being a boss.
Jason's going to miss some time because he'll have to be in court with Becky representing her. He's been retained. So we'll have to see. He'll keep us updated.
I'm just saying, you cannot come down on one side of this.
Oh, it's pretty gray.
What I'm telling you.
I'm coming down on human. Let's give birth.
I think you can be human.
Let's give birth.
As a woman's text
let's
me, you've got a
birth.
Three-man crew here, and John's trying to come down with the final hammer. You can't do that, fool.
I like your idea with the provision to have a holding spot for another player to play in that slot. I think also what I would argue...
I think unlimited.
If I'm getting into the CBA, though, and I'm representing these ladies, what I would also say is I get X amount of percentage of my pay while I'm doing that. In other words, I get 60%, and I also get the time off.
I think they get guaranteed salary.
Well,
I do think they get that.
That's what you read.
That's friggin' amazing.
Yeah, they get.
Oh my God,
they get full pay with maternity leave
while I'm gone.
Yeah,
hello.
It doesn't stipulate how long that.
NBA sounded pretty pro female.
Unless you get pregnant before the season, And that's when they don't have much tolerance for that.
They're thinking about the contracts.
If you are a free agent, basically, you cannot get pregnant until the next year of your deal, depending on how long.
Or there's a disclosure clause.
You have to tell them. Yeah, exactly. You have to tell them. So, but again, look, it's gray in that standpoint. Did she know? Did she not know? I don't know.
You don't know nothing except how to make a baby.
Exactly. And I think women should be allowed to do that. If that makes me a bad person, then so be it. But I think every player that wants to, I think we should have, like I said, unlimited pregnancy exemptions. And Becky Hammon can figure it out. If she's the coach she thinks she is, she'll adjust and she'll be able to win titles with anybody. Let them women raise a family. Without worry of punitive retaliation.
And sound like we got another paternity leave coming up.
That's a fact.
I guarantee
John,
that's right. By the way, that's actually kids. Where I land on this. That is 100% coming.
I'm Team Hamby.
Next story.
Hey, thank you.
Team Hamby.
Because I don't think there's anything else John can say about this story.
Watch me.
This with time out to about next May is what I'm gathering.
Or big maybe news out of
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Minnesota. You aware?
Yes.
Some have considered that the NFC North might be the best division in football this year, moving ahead of the AFC North. If that is to be the case, the NFC North would need the Minnesota Vikings, who have drafted J.J. McCarthy, to be good, right? To be solid to good. And obviously the Bears to do the same. We know what's up with the top of it with Detroit and Green Bay. However, that Minnesota part, we'll see if they can hold up their end, because rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy is going to undergo surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his right knee that was announced today by Kevin O'Connell. Oh, we were just talking yesterday about how good McCarthy looked in his preseason debut, and he had, but he had also been complaining of soreness. And over the weekend, underwent an MRI. Well, he did the MRI last night. after complaining of the soreness over the weekend. Remember, number 10 overall draft selection. They've also got Sam Darnold, and that thing comes back with a meniscus injury. And so at some point, there is no right now timeline. But you would have to think, with just two preseason games left and a few weeks here before we get to opening week, that this has cemented the way for Sam Darnold to at least be, and may have already been leaning that way, but maybe the McCarthy performance was going to change that. This would probably cement that Sam Darnold is going to be your number one quarterback. Now, back to the point of how good the Vikings can be. You know, some have argued this is Sam Darnold's best opportunity. You know, didn't get the time with the Niners, was a mess where Carolina, Jets too? I mean, he's been around a little bit now. And you're putting him in a situation here with Minnesota, and they've got some offensive pieces, you know, that he could get in here and really do well and maybe be that good to, you know, solid to good team just with him. But certainly a blow, and particularly coming off of a very impressive performance against John's Raiders, thoughts, and if you were, you were starting to have some thoughts, if you were Kevin O'Connell, that maybe we should just go ahead and start the rookie and unroll. You're going to slow down. You're going to slow your roll certainly now. Again, this is not devastating news because you're talking about a meniscus here, and I suspect he will be back at some point pretty early this season, early on this season. But it is a setback for a guy who just played well in the preseason debut and was at least making a run and trying to be the number one quarterback week one.
Yeah, devastating for sure. And we'll see the severity. It depends on when they get in there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a cleanup or a total repair.
It's torn, but to your point, they'll decide how they're going
to
go about it.
But I'm not expecting to see J.J. McCarthy this season. I don't think I was really necessarily expecting to see that barring injury anyway. Darnold looked really, really good. And I think in that system, Kevin O'Connell is going to prefer the veteran, as opposed to the rookie. You know, and if you're talking about with Joe, J.J.'s got a 4 or 5 year deal. It doesn't have to be this year. Like, you'd like him in camp, you'd like him in practice, you'd like him to get the rep. So if he misses that, that will hurt. Because Darnold is not a long-term solution. He's a guy where you're trying to time this out perfectly. You're trying to get a year, maybe two, but you're really trying to get that 1 year, and then you want to pass the baton off, like, to Shaqiri, and that be JJ.
Yeah.
He just take off with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of jeopardizes that plan a little bit, depending on the severity of it. But, you know, I still think it's an injury that he'll be able to, if he's capable of doing, I think there's no reason he shouldn't still be able to do that a year from now, right?
Yeah.
Again, you're going to miss the reps in practice. You're going to miss, if Darnold goes down, that would be because it's probably going to go to Mullins or Hall now. And I would not expect to see Darnold at all the rest of the preseason. That would just make no sense whatsoever because you can't afford to lose him. But I didn't really get the vibes from Minnesota's people that I was following that it was like a real competition like that. It was Darnold all but, if he struggled, the first six to 7 weeks of the season, they could have made a change.
Well, aren't you of the belief though, especially, and you've said it about first rounders, but a guy that was picked in the top 10, you should go ahead and roll him out there.
Yes.
If you can.
100%.
In this case, they can't, but you're of the, we just talked about that with Theismann. You asked him that question.
Exactly. Right?
Especially a number 10 pick.
Exactly.
And that, really, in a way, unless you think Sam Darnold's going to lead you to a Super Bowl and you don't,
right,
then you're just putting off the future.
That's right.
Or whatever the future holds.
Yeah. You're delaying it.
You're putting it. And you never know if you're going to be there for that.
Correct.
As a head coach. So I could argue it the other way that you should be playing that guy, even though this would take that decision you would think out of your hands.
Difference, which I don't know if there was. I don't know.
So I'm saying, like you said, I didn't get the sense that it was this real big competition and we felt like McCarthy was going to beat him out. They want to see Darnold, it feels like, in this situation.
Exactly.
I think there's a great deal of confidence there.
Yeah.
But all you're doing is, like you said, you're delaying, you're delaying your future.
Yep.
Again, a future that you might not be there for. So you have to be careful.
No, it's true. And the Vikings are one of those teams where it looks a lot like Jalen Hurts in Philly, in 2020, where they can make the playoffs with McCarthy as a rookie at quarterback. They got Justin Jefferson, they got good defensive
players. It's a good enough defense.
Yeah.
Like, they could if things break right.
Yeah, it's
just like the Bears could.
Brian Flores as DC, you got a lot of pieces there that are really, pointing up. But I'm not in practice, so I don't know exactly how far along.
Can't remember. What's their running back situation?
Oh, man.
It is not.
It's not Madison.
Nope.
Who is their damn running back?
and they moved off of off my big boy, Dalvin Cook, right?
Yes. It's Aaron Jones, former Packer.
Dang.
So
bear killer.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
That's where Aaron ran.
And Todd Chandler, their backup, who had a big touchdown run against the Raiders over the weekend. So
well, I have to. Aaron Jones, a bear killer, so I got to respect that.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in Grenard from Houston, who was one of their leading sack guys. Byron Murphy, corner. Harrison Smith, safety. You know,
Aaron Jones, the Viking.
I mean, that's a good team. That's a good roster. You know, I mean, they were competitive with that rotating carousel last year at quarterback. So, I mean, you know, again, I don't think it was going to be immediate for him, but it was trending. It was trending toward Darnold, with McCarthy being distant second. So we'll see if this delays the timeline. There is another NFL story. The San Francisco 49ers have a deal in place, according to Ian Rappaport, with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Tomlin wasn't smiling for nothing.
For Brandon Ayuk. Now, a couple of things.
Let's go.
A couple of things before you get excited, all right? It has to be agreed in terms of contract with Ayuk.
Yeah, he can. If he doesn't like the contract, this is not happening.
And according to the rap sheet, they are in a good place.
Well, don't be like the Jets with Hassan Reddick.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So that has to get done. And then also San Francisco has to sign off on it. Now, we don't know who the Steelers are sending back.
Well, let me tell you, it ain't George Pickens. And I will hold my hand up and say I was a fool if he ends up going back. I just cannot see it.
That would sort of defeat the purpose.
You're trading a good weapon for another weapon. You want two weapons.
Right.
I want two weapons. I don't want one weapon.
Some people have speculated Freiermuth.
Yeah, I just can't see Pickens going.
I don't know.
You think player as opposed to draft capital?
I think player. I think it's got to be a player.
Wow. Don't the Niners need draft capital after wasting the Trey Lance picks to move up?
I think they need players because they're in win-now mode with McCaffrey.
Well, they're absolutely in win-now mode. Yes, they're all in.
So I think they're going to try to get a player. That would be my guess. But we don't have any details yet.
Well, I mean, I would say it's great for Justin Fields if he could. You got two now you can throw to, but he can't hold on to the ball, man. Fumbles the ball every time. So good for Russell Wilson. More importantly, good for the next Pittsburgh QB, and his name is Dak Prescott. See you in the offseason.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the goings-on. Maybe
Jarvis
get his thoughts
Greer.
On the we'll talk to him about Jarvis Greer, and we'll also talk to him about the Liberty Bowl and what he thinks about the game day experience this year. Lots more to come.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.